1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
That warm, casual voice is instantly recognizable. Willie Nelson, the redheaded stranger, American icon, country legend, known for his soulful, impish, conversational lyrics, celebrated for his genre-blending sounds. 79 years old and still very much at it. Still philosophizing, out with new music, telling new stories and old ones, and still on the road. This hour on Point, the one and only Willie Nelson. You can join the conversation. What's your question for Willie Nelson? What does his music mean to you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining us now from New York is Willie Nelson, legendary country singer, songwriter, one of the most prolific songwriters and album makers in popular music history. He's sold upwards of 50 million records, written more than 2,500 songs, recorded close to 300 albums, has acted in over 30 films. He's an outspoken activist on plenty of issues, biofuel, family farms, and marijuana legalization, to name a few. In May of this year, he released a new album, Heroes, and now he's out with a new book, an autobiography of sorts called Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road. Willie Nelson, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm well, and I want to thank you, if I may. It's been a lot of music over a lot of years, and I've really enjoyed it. And as a family farm kid in particular, I thank you, Willie. I thank you for everything there.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, gosh, and here you are, book out, album out, and on the road again, 79 years old. Doesn't it get kind of wearying, or did it get wearying a long time ago?
Well, I'm not sure whether I'm tired or not. I ought to be. I've got every reason to be tired, but I feel pretty good.
That's great. What's your base these days? Is it Texas or Hawaii or both? How do you? I didn't know you had the Maui footprint, but you write about it in the book. Sounds like that's a pretty big home for you as well.
It is. It's a place where we go to kind of chill out, and I call it my hospital zone because I kind of get a chance to heal up over there from whatever. So, yeah, I enjoy Maui a lot.
And here we are on the radio, and I also didn't know until I read this that you were on the radio very, very young, kind of talked your way next to the microphone. Tell us about your early radio history, Willie.
I really started out doing radio back when I was a teenager. We had a radio show there in Hillsboro, Texas, KHBR in Hillsboro. We had every Saturday from, I think, noon till 12:30. And me and my sister and my brother-in-law, we all got up there and had a little band and played. And so then I did some DJ work there on KHBR and then went around the country. And a lot of times when I couldn't find a job playing in a club somewhere, I'd go to the radio station and try to find a job there doing some disc jockey work to pick up a couple of bucks.
I don't know how much of that is recorded, if any of it was. Was any of it? If you go all the way back, I mean, I think I'm reading here you on half an hour every day, just you and the guitar and the microphone. Is any of that taped somewhere?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm not sure what we used to record with back in those days, but there ought to be something around.
Maybe stones and chisels or something. That record.
Maybe so, yeah.
But I guess the question that comes to mind is, do you know, maybe you can listen back to your early recordings, have you changed a lot? Has your presentation changed, the timbre of your voice, the attitude in your voice? Was it different when you were a real young guy?
Well, I can tell when, you know, my voice changed when I was, you know, that age when it happens, and it was kind of funny for a couple of years there. I didn't know whether I was a bass or what, but it kept my voice broke there for a couple of times, and then I finally wound up being what it is today. And yeah, but the voice changing thing was kind of funny.
What about the attitude in it? Well, I mean, were you always the Willie Nelson attitude we know now? Or is there something fundamental that was always there? Or did you learn that? Is that a product of craft and listening to what people responded to?
I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of growing up where I grew up, there in a little town of Abbott, Texas, where we all thought we were important. And basically, we did everything in Abbott that you could do anywhere else in the world. And I learned a lot on a small scale just by living in that small town.
Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road, is the title of Willie Nelson's new book. It's also the title of a song off his latest album, Heroes. Let's listen to a little, and you'll hear, Snoop Dogg is in here, Jimmy Johnson, Kris Kristofferson, and, of course, Willie Nelson.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Pretty soon, Snoop Dogg comes in and a lot more. Willie Nelson, people think of you, they think of all kinds of great music. They think of the whole outlaw image and all the rest. Of course, they think of pot. And here you are saying, roll me up and smoke me when I die. How did pot get so central to your life?
Oh, I don't know. I used to smoke 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day when I was growing up. In fact, smoking was really what I started out doing early in life. I'd smoke cedar bark.
6 grapevine. Years old, I read here.
Yeah, anything that I could smoke, I smoked, and it was not good for me, naturally. And I was trying to be an athlete and all those things. So I realized after a while that smoking wasn't that good for me, and I'd had pneumonia a few times. So I was also smoking pot, so I decided that one of them had to go. So I quit smoking cigarettes, and actually what I did is I rolled up 20 fat ones and put it in my Chesterfield pack and threw the cigarettes away, and I haven't smoked a cigarette since.
Is there something, I mean, a lot of people have something they lean on. What is it in your personality that made that marijuana?
Oh, I don't know. I've read somewhere and heard and really believe that stress kills a lot of people, and that weed is one of the greatest release for press, for
stress,
you know,
there.
That there is for pressure. So I even Googled it. I was a little concerned about everything anyway. So I Googled it. If you Google pot cures cancer,
yeah.
You might be surprised.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you're doing pretty well at 79. There may be something to it there. There's another line, though, in that song that made me... I was reading about how you grew up not just near, but right next to the church or tabernacle there in Abbott, Texas. So you got a lot of church music in your ears early on. There's a line in the song, though, I don't know if it comes out of that tradition or something else, is, I didn't come here and I ain't leaving. What does that mean? That sounds cosmic, but I'm not sure exactly what it means. Speak, guru.
Actually, I'm not really sure what it means either, but it sounds sort of rebellious, so I decided it was a good line.
Rebellious? I thought it was transcendental. I didn't know if you were, you know, I mean, Jesus comes in later, but I didn't know if you were getting all eternal on us there.
I don't think so, no.
Rebellious. I didn't come here, and I ain't leaving. In other words, you can't push me in or out.
This is true, yeah.
And the crowd that you're singing with there, some of them you've known a long time, Kris Kristofferson, Snoop Dogg, he must be newer to your circle.
Well, Snoop and I go back a long way.
Is that right?
But, you know, back before he was Snoop Lion, we knew each other.
You've got some folks who are right there with you in Maui, I think, who've got sort of share your compound or your terrain there. Is Kristofferson one of them?
Well, he lives over on the island. We live in different parts of the island, but he's a couple hours away from me over there, and we hang out some. And we play a lot of poker over there on different nights, and I have a little place outside that we go to play poker, and it's called Django's. And we have a lot of my friends come over there and play, Woody and Owen. And
Woody Harrelson, Jim, is there, I think.
Yeah, Woody and Owen Wilson and... Don Nelson, the basketball coach, he comes by a lot, and we have a lot of fun just playing poker.
That sounds pretty great. Did you plan it out to have a little Hawaiian retreat there for everybody, or just happen to end up on the same island? How'd it work out?
It just sort of worked out that way. After I got over there and kind of looked around and realized, hey, there's a lot of people over here that I know, And that came over there probably for the same reason I did, to chill out a little bit. But there's quite a few of us over there that have a little hideaway.
You're right. We've got Come On Back, Jesus, one of your songs here. Now, I know you've been a peace activist sometimes. You write about Howard Zinn, an old friend of ours, bless his soul, who's gone now, but who, of course, was a very big peace activist. But in your Come On Back, Jesus, you say, bring John Wayne back with you. Of course, he's not famous for his peace activism, John Wayne. Which way is it, peace or knuckles?
Well, sometimes you got to have knuckles to get peace, you know. I don't know whether you've ever run into that or not, but I have a few times along the way. A lot of people don't like peace.
Well, I have run into that, but in the church where I was taught, that's what Jesus didn't say.
I've never learned that part of Jesus' teachings. I've never learned to turn the other cheek. I've always felt like that would really not only hard to do, but not necessary.
Willie Nelson, we're so glad you're here. Let's listen to a little bit of that. The new book is Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die. Here's Come On Back, Jesus, from Heroes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, 800-423-8255.
Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus. Pick up John Wayne on the way. The world's getting crazy, and it seems to get worse every day. So come on back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way. So come on back, Jesus. Come on back, Jesus. Come on back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way. Yes, I understand that every life must end. As we sit along, I know someday we must go.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Willie Nelson about life and music on and off the road. His new book is Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road. It is an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Behind us right here, Just Breathe, off his latest album, Heroes. Of course, it's the Pearl Jam 2009 single, and he's singing here with his son, Lucas Nelson. You can hear their voices right there. Joins us today from New York City. You can join us, too. What's your question for the outlaw, the redheaded stranger, Willie Nelson? What's your question for the musician, the grandfather, the guy who's seen it all, done it all? And what's made Willie Nelson special, different in his outlook, his attitude, the sound of his voice? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Mary's calling from Muskogee, Oklahoma. Hi, Mary. You're on the air with Willie Nelson.
Oh, hi. Hi, Tom. Hi, Willie. What a treat.
Thank you. How are you doing, Mary?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I just wanted to tell you that you are very important in my family. We listened to you growing up, and my parents love you. My sister and I love you. We'll definitely have you going when we make Thanksgiving dinner in a couple of days together. So I'm looking forward to that. And I just wanted to ask you, your voice sounds so great, and you sound so young, and, I mean, I can't believe you're almost 80. That's crazy. But I was just wondering, where do you continue to draw inspiration for your music as you age and go through life?
Willie?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't have any special programs or anything. I just kind of play it off the top of my head, and if I feel like I have an idea for a song, I better pull over and write it right then or I'll forget it. So I just kind of do it easily, the easy way. I try not to make it hard.
And are you driving all this still, Willie, or do you have a lot of people around you saying, let's put an album together with Snoop Dogg and your son Lucas and get Micah and your son in there? You know, who's producing these days?
Well, all of those things are true. I have a couple of really good producers. Buddy Cannon has been producing a lot of my things for a long time. Fred Foster, and then back in the early years, Chet Atkins and Grady Martin. And I've been lucky enough to have some of the best producers in the world in the studio with me. So I have no complaints in that department.
So you're a real old one, one of the first you sold, I think. Family Bible goes way, way back. The song became a hit. Claude Gray recorded it in 1960. Willie Nelson's songwriting career took off from there. This is Willie himself off the 1971 album Yesterday's Wine.
There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memories.
Willie, when you wrote that, did you think you were going to be a straight-ahead country guy all the way?
Was over.
Well, I had, you know, that particular song it is a country song with the, you know, the steel and the guitars and so forth. But I had grown up singing other songs. My sister plays great piano, and I learned a lot of music from her. And she would play songs like Stardust and Moonlight in Vermont and all those great pop tunes. And I learned to sing those early in life, too. So I felt like I was trying to do as much of it, pop and country, as I could. And then I got interested in Django Reinhardt and some of the jazz musicians, and I've been, you know, dabbling in that for a while.
But it was off to Nashville first, and of course famously feeling that Nashville didn't want your full range of creativity, shall we say.
Well, they weren't exactly accepting everything with open arms, because things were pretty much the way they wanted them to be in Nashville. I mean, And they didn't really like it when me and Waylon and some guys come by there and started trying to do things differently. But that even made it more fun for me and Waylon, because we enjoyed kind of doing things our own way. And we did, we're still doing it our own way.
You tell the story in Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die of how Crazy, the wonderful song that Patsy Cline made so famous and you've sung so wonderfully, how that made it up to Patsy Cline. Remind us of that tale, if you would, Willie.
Well, as I remember, I was in Nashville and was hanging out in a place called Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, which is still there, and listening to the jukebox. And Charlie Dick, who was Patsy's husband, was there also. We were listening to Family Bible, that I had just brought that up with me from Texas. And also on the jukebox was a song that I wrote called Crazy. And Charlie thought Patsy should hear that song. So we'd had a couple of beers, so he wanted to go wake Patsy up at 12:30 in the morning. Yeah. I didn't want to go. So I stayed in the car while he went in. And then she came outside and insisted that I come in and visited, because she was a great lady. She loved the song. And there is not a better singer in the world than Patsy Cline, and she did a job on Crazy that no one else has ever been able to top.
Oh, that's just fantastic. But I'm trying to think of how you must have been 20, early 20s when you wrote that, and scribbling stuff down on napkins and wherever, I guess, is your way, you say here. I mean, can you remember how that came to you? Was it just you're walking along and suddenly that tune is there, or it's in response to something in your life? Do you remember now, even?
Well, I remembered later on, after I had written the song, there was something about that song. Crazy. I was trying to figure out, where did I get those first two notes?
Yeah.
And then I went back in my memory a little bit and came up with a song by Floyd Tillman that started out, Baby, Baby, I miss you so very much, it hurts me.
He just took it somewhere else.
I just gotta have my baby back. So I had really ripped off Floyd a little bit there on the beginning of that.
At least for two notes. Here's Patsy Cline with Willie Nelson's great Crazy.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. Crazy for feeling so blue.
Patsy Cline with Willie Nelson's She Was Awakened by Willie and Charlie Dick. Middle of the night to hear that song the first time, he tells us. Joey in Virginia Beach, Virginia, you're on with Willie Nelson. Thanks for calling, Joey.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Willie. Wow, what a great way to turn a rotten Monday morning around.
All right.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You, fellas.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have been a big Willie Nelson fan since I was, 14, and I'm 47 now. And my mom and dad loved Willie Nelson, still do. My kids love Willie Nelson, and they're teenagers and in their early 20s. So it's pretty cool how it's transcended the generations. And really appreciate what Willie Nelson has done over the years. I'm a guitar player myself, and I got to tell you, Willie, you definitely inspired me to play. I remember recording a HBO concert you did back in the early 80s on my father's Betamax, if you remember those things.
Sure.
And I just watched you play on that old beat up classical guitar, and I still play. I'm a part-time working musician, but it's just pretty awesome. Awesome.
Hey, Joey, we're really glad to hear from you in Virginia Beach, and keep on playing, and appreciate your call. Let me get one more, if I may. Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on with Willie Nelson, John.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Willie. Wow, what a real honor to speak with both of y'all. Willie, the first music I remember was your music. Your live album, the double live album you did, Willie and Family, was in the 8-track player in my mama's car, and it was in there constantly, and I never quit listening to it. I still listen to it. As recently as a week ago, I was playing it for my 6- and 4-year-old children. It's timeless music. The Time of the Preacher, and you know, your Phases and Stages record. It's phenomenal stuff. And I came to Nashville to follow in your footsteps. 10 or so years ago, you inspired me so much as a child. And I thank God Nashville, you didn't let Nashville change you, because you went on to greater things. But I was recently asked in a room full of people. We were going around the room, and everybody was saying who they would want to, what celebrities they would want to spend the day with if they had a choice. And I couldn't wait till it came around to my turn, because I had two people, and it was Willie Nelson and Jimmy Carter. And two of the great, greatest influences I've ever had, and so it's just a real honor. And it's great to hear you talk about how you write as, from the subconscious when you're driving, stopping to write. That's the same way I do it, and I couldn't think of doing it any other way. So, just a real pleasure to speak with you.
Hey, John, thank you. Thank you so much, Willie. What do you think has made you so approachable? And of course, there's the music, but there's the personality as well. What do you think has made you somebody that people feel this way about?
Well, I like people, and I enjoy being around them, enjoy talking, and enjoy, singing and playing, telling jokes. And I've always kind of been that way, all the way far back as I can remember. I was always a salesman, I guess, from the word go. I started out selling Cloverine salve and garden seeds door to door there in Abbott, and then went from there to encyclopedias and you name it, sewing machines. So I just enjoy talking to people, and I enjoyed knocking on doors, driving down the street and looking for a place to sell a set of books, and I'd see a swing and a slide set in the backyard, and I'd say, hey, there's a prospect, and I'd pull over and knock on the door. I got a lot of doors slammed in my face, mm-hmm. but I made a lot of sales, too.
You think that ends up somehow in the way you approach the music, what you learned about how to get to people?
I think probably it had a lot to do with it.
And our caller John is in Nashville. Kinky Friedman writes the foreword for your book, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me. And he's pretty tough on Nashville, These days, the music there, he says, homogenized, sanitized, derivative tissue of horse whoopee here that's on the radio these days. Is that your attitude talking this?
No, I don't. I love Kinky to death, but, as far as the music that I'm hearing these days, I like Hank Williams and I like Litt Frizzell and Ray Price, et cetera. We can go on down the line. I'm a traditional country music fan from the word go. But whatever's going on in music these days, country, pop, rock and roll, I wish him all well. You know, we're all out there trying to do the same thing.
Kinky says you were too hip for the room in Nashville. True?
Well, maybe for one or two of the rooms I was, but there was a few rooms up there that we did okay.
Yeah, I guess Shotgun Willie, 1973, earned that nickname sort of, on his way out of that scene. Here's Willie Nelson, 1973.
Well, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't play music if you don't know nothing to play. A Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there.
Shotgun Willie, 1973. Bob's calling from Newton, Massachusetts. Bob, you're on with Willie Nelson.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Willie.
Yo.
I've enjoyed Will.
He's right with you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed your body of work over the years, and I'm just impressed you're hanging out with Don Nelson. I'm a huge Celtic fan, and this is a guy who couldn't leap more than 2 inches, and here you are hanging out with him. And Bob, Willie, I'd like to ask you, I saw you play with Bob Dylan one time, and give me your impression of Bob, not his work. We know how brilliant he is there, but is he as odd as he appears to be? And thank you, Willie.
Okay. There's a setup. What do you say, Willie?
Well, you probably know Bob Dylan as well as anybody, and as well as I do. You know, I've been around him a few times, and I love him. I think he's a great artist and a great writer, but I don't know much more about him today than I did before the day I met him.
Kind of in his own world.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Does it matter to you if you've got a backslapping relationship with a musician that you work with, or is it really just what happens on the stage musically?
Well, I have a lot of respect for my peers, first of all, mm-hmm. and whether they're singers or writers or whatever, they're pickers. And I enjoy being around them and do enjoy shaking hands and backslapping with a lot of those guys.
But if it's, let's say it's Bob Dylan, he's off kind of on his own moonbeam, when it comes time to do the, to make the music, is the music enough itself to hook you guys up?
Oh, yeah, we can communicate very well on the stage, playing guitar and singing. And we wrote a song one time, it's called My American Dream Fell Apart at the Seams. Mm-hmm. It was about the farmers, and we wrote a song. He wrote the first verse, sent it to me. I wrote the second one, sent it back to him, and we wrote the whole song that way. So, yeah, we communicate fairly well.
It's just great to have you here, Willie. We've got some more music we want to hear and more to learn from. The new book is Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road. All kinds of sounds from Willie Nelson. George on My Mind, one of the greatest renditions ever. Just fantastic. Of course, Hoagy Carmichael's that Willie Nelson did so well. Willie, please stand by there. New York listeners, you can join us. What do you make of Willie Nelson, the activist for family farms, farm aid, for peace, for legalized pot? What's your favorite Willie Nelson song? Why? What's your question for Willie on music, on life, on health, the road, expanded consciousness, America? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Willie Nelson's new book is Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Well, the moon is broken, the sky is cracked. Come on up to the house. The only thing you can see is all that you like. So come on up to the house.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with Willie Nelson, the great Willie Nelson, today about life and music on and off the road. There he is on his latest album, 2012, covering Tom Waits' Come On Up to the House. Sheryl Crow and Lucas Nelson right there in that song. Willie Nelson joins us today from New York City. Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road, is his new book. Willie Nelson, I loved this rendition of the Tom Waits song, and it just said to me that you really have kept your country awareness. I mean, anybody who's lived in the country knows that bad time when somebody's feelings are so hurt or they're so despairing and they run off to the pasture or somewhere and somebody goes out to comfort them, and that's exactly what they say. Come on up to the house. Let's settle down. It'll be okay. Sounds like you may have been there, Willie.
Well, if truth is known, I've probably been there many times.
Yeah. I don't know who's lived in that setting who hasn't. How'd you pick up that song? How'd it come to you from Tom Waits?
My son Lucas brought that song to me. Vetter wrote that song, and it's one of the better ones, and I'm surprised that I hadn't heard it before, but I hadn't heard a lot of stuff, I guess. But Luke brought it to me and wanted to record it, and I'm glad he did.
You've got Micah and Luke both pitching in on this album. What do you think about their musical aspirations? Is it going to be a musical family on down the generations now?
Well, I guess we already are. They're both good. Micah is a great artist, musician, and Lucas is a great singer, writer, musician. And my other kids are good, too. Amy and Paula sing and play and record, we're doing a tour together this summer, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
You remind us that it came in part from your parents and grandparents. I mean, you write about your granddad as a blacksmith. Shooting a horse, got kicked, ruptured his stomach. Tough, but they gave you music.
I worked in the blacksmith shop when I was just very young, when my granddad was a blacksmith, and just had a lot of fun, and it was very exciting seeing him trying to shoe all those wild horses in there, and they didn't like it at all, some of them. So it was a minor rodeo every day.
You know, I know that. You get that, what, the hoof up between your knees there, trying to nail it in.
Didn't drive nails in
yeah,
there. You know?
Yeah, good luck with that. Gail in Bremen, Indiana. Gail, you're on the air with Willie Nelson. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Hi, Willie.
Hello.
I cannot believe I'm talking to you.
Thank you. I put your
vinyls on the weekends in the morning, and they turn me wrong side out.
You have
the most amazing voice in the world.
Thank you. We
came to see your show in South Bend, and our daughter lives in Nashville. She's a songwriter and working down there part-time and doing her music, and we threw her CD up on the stage when you were there. She's a cute little redhead, and her dream is to do a tour someday, a redhead tour with Willie.
All right. Well, let's
wondered
make that
if
happen.
You ever got her CD.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know.
You probably didn't.
I
know. It was a long shot.
That's definitely a long shot. Throw it on the stage with Willie Nelson and hope for the best.
We threw it up there, and our whole family loves you. We get out on our horses. We live out here in farm country in Bremen, and we have you playing in our barn, and it's just I told my daughter someday when you're writing some songs, you can call Willie and he can come sing at my birthday party.
Oh, that sounds good.
Hey, Gail, thank you very much. Thanks,
okay,
Gail.
Okay, love you, Willie.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Are you still paying attention to horses and how they're treated, Willie? I know that was one of your causes for a while along the way.
Well, yeah, I have adopted a bunch of horses, rescued a bunch of horses that were headed to the slaughter pens around the world. And I think now I've got about 72 horses up there. A few of them I've had horses that I have in the family that we ride. But then a lot of them are just those old wild Mustangs.
We heard you singing Georgia there. Drew writes to us from Georgia, and he says, please ask Mr. Nelson what he thinks about Colorado and Washington State's recent changes in legislation regarding marijuana. On Election Day, they both voted to legalize recreational marijuana. Are you taking credit for that, Willie?
Well, I'm not sure I can take any credit for it, but I'm certainly in favor of it. And I think those states are going to go a long way to show, you know, the rest of the country how it's really supposed to be done.
Harold in Quincy, Massachusetts. Harold, you're on the air with Willie Nelson.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Hi, Tom. Hi, Willie.
Hi.
Unlike most of the people that will call you, I have never been a country music listener or fan. I'm a 75-year-old youngster in my 76th year. And in 1951, I discovered me was Charlie Parker, Thelonious Monk, and that part of the American musical culture. And I dug improvisation, and I'm an Ofay cat, and I'm an old viper, too. So I'm part of the world that you speak of and live. What I dig about you is your honesty, totally, about everything. And you can make me cry, and you can make me smile. And I've only been listening to you a little bit in the last few years. So from an old bebopper digging a country cat, well, I think you're a very hip man, and I think you're spiritual. And you're giving me a bright moment, to quote Roland Kirk. And I'll also lay a little Duke Ellington on you, too, because I love you madly. What else can I say?
Hey, wow.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much.
It's coming thick. Hey, maybe you're not a country guy, Harold. Then this one's for you. A little Stardust from Willie Nelson, 78.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song, the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you.
Willie Nelson's 1978 Stardust. Some country folk thought he'd really gone off there, and it did great. Do you ever wonder, Willie Nelson, if I don't know, if you'd been born in New Jersey instead of Texas, if maybe, you know, you would have gone off in Harold's direction there, toward more jazz or all classics or something else?
Well, you never know, but it's possible. If I'd have grown up in just that environment, then I probably would have gone a lot more that way. But I'm glad that somewhere along the way, I did hear those guys, and I learned a lot from them.
Brought a lot in. Robert in Columbia, South Carolina, you're on with Willie.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Willie.
Hi.
Hey.
It's very, I'm honored, Willie, to be able to speak with you. I wanted to tell you that as I was growing up, my family, my dad used to tell me that he romanced all of his girlfriends to Sinatra. Well, my big romance, all my romance tunes came from Stardust, which I consider one of the best albums of all time. Thank you so much for that piece of work. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
Sounds like it may have helped with your love life there, Robert. Willie?
Yes, it sure did. The other thing I wanted to quickly mention is, yeah, I have a friend who once told me that he thought you and Snoop Dogg were probably the most stress-free musicians he'd ever seen.
Wonder what the connection could be. Just wondering. Robert, thank you. Thank you. It's Robert's romance tune. You've been married 4 times. Willie, what have you learned about love?
Well, there's a lot of it. I've definitely learned that part of it. I've got, you know, several wives, and I think I mentioned in the book that there's no such thing as ex-wives, only additional wives. And that's especially true if you have kids, and that's really the way it's supposed to be, because you need to keep relationships going if there's kids in the family.
Yeah, it sounds from, you've got a lot of kids writing in this book, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me, and writing pretty darn warmly about their father and grandfather here. Lindsay in Concord, Massachusetts. Lindsay, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Willie.
Hey.
When I first got into you, Willie, I think I went to the record store maybe for 8 years saying, okay, I'm going to buy something other than Willie Nelson, but I always bought one of your albums because you have so many great ones. But I'm just curious about the path of your spiritual life, because I remember listening to Yesterday's Wine, and it stood out from the others as almost being kind of dogmatic, like in God's eyes, it's not for me to understand. I almost felt like you were trying to convince yourself to believe it for a second. I'm not sure what your spiritual views are now or how they've evolved, but I'm very curious about it. So, thanks.
Yeah. Willie?
Well, I don't think I've changed a lot. I started out singing in the Methodist Church when I was very young, and my sister and I still visit that church whenever we can. And I still have basically the same values and beliefs that I was taught growing up in the Christian faith. And I know there's a lot of roads that lead to the same place. So I'm not trying to force my beliefs onto anyone else, except that they do work for me.
You write in the book not so much about religion. You do mention it. You write about Howard Zinn, who you were People's History of the United States, and of course, he was in our turf here and a regular guest before he passed. He wrote, civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. Our problem is that people are obedient all over the world in the face of poverty and starvation, stupidity and war and cruelty. But you write in here, Willie, you say, I think we're getting closer to the end of major wars because they cost too much. What's going on?
Well, I think that's true. I think the worse the economy gets around the world, the fewer wars there will be, because they do cost money. And one of our leaders said one time that money trumps peace. But I think the time has come now where peace may be trumping money.
Until, on the other hand, it's a little bit bleak, because you say there may be more smaller wars just for survival as food and water get scarce. Do you see that coming?
Well, there's always that possibility. When people get desperate and their families are hungry, they'll do desperate things. So we know how – we've already witnessed some of that in our lifetime, and I think if and when things get worse, we'll see more of that.
Here's a little bit more from the 2012 album Heroes. This is The Scientist, of course, a cover of Coldplay's hit song.
Come up to meet you. Tell you I'm sorry. Don't know how lovely you are. I had to find you and tell you I need you and tell you I set you apart. Tell me your secrets and ask me your questions. Oh, let's go back to the start.
Willie Nelson singing Coldplay's The Scientist. I just love the sound of you singing that at 79. How do you get started on a song like that, Willie? Do you listen to them sing it first and then think about what's my handle on this? How do you dig into it?
Well, I did learn it from the original record, and I learned it for the commercial that I was doing. And I love the song. I love the video. I thought it had a great story and a great lesson for everyone to watch and see how some of the farmers tried to go the big corporate way and it didn't work. And now they found that it was better to go back to the original, go back to the start and do it the old-fashioned way. And so I love the song, the idea of the song. And so it really wasn't that hard to sing the melody.
Sound like you flow right into it. Get one more call here. Tallulah, Oklahoma. John, you're on with Willie Nelson. John.
I love you, Willie.
Hey, love you back. What's going on?
I wanted to tell everybody that I went to, you bring everybody together. Went to a concert in downtown Austin, Texas. You had the state senators. You had the motorcycle group, the Banditos. You had the cowboys. You had the hippies. You had everybody come to see you. I want everybody to know that we all love you.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we had a big time down there in Austin that day, and I think it was around 4:20 in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken.
And everybody on their lawn chairs, and everybody seems, what, the hippies and the bikers and the senators all there. What's your plans, Willie? You going to keep just recording and recording, or what's the outlook?
Yeah, I've got a new album with me and my band coming out. It's called Face the Music. It's the Irving Berlin song, Let's Face the Music and Dance.
Oh,
and
great.
We did some standards, and I did a couple of originals. Also working on an album with me and some girl singers, calling the album To All the Girls I've Loved Before. And I'm doing some tracks with Emmy Lou and with Dolly and Cheryl and Roseanne Cash and some of the great gals that I enjoy singing with.
Those both sound terrific. Whatever you're doing, it's working. Does the voice, can you tour as you always toured? Your voice sounds good.
I'm doing pretty good. I got no problems. I got off in Colorado a few weeks ago, and it was got up in the altitude, and it was a little too high for me. I had a problem breathing, but and I didn't have the oxygen along with me. So as long as I carry the things I need with me, I'm all right.
Sounds like you have. Sounds like you will. Willie Nelson, it's been a pleasure, a joy to spend an hour with you. We're really grateful to you. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks, Tom. Nice talking to you.
Willie Nelson's new book is Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road. There's an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks so much for your calls. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Little things I should have said and done. I just never took the time. But you were all. We're all